Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for staying with me through our praise break this morning as we had praise and worship, thanking God for another day and thanking God for all of you. For God is good and greatly to be praised. And I thank him for this new day. I thank him for his grace and I thank him for his mercy. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord God, lifting up the name of Jesus, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Father God, we give this word to you as we do every day, asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you for another day to give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Cannot do this without him. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to get into your word every day, thanking God for another day, because this is grace. If he woke you up this morning, it's grace. Started you on your way, grace. Gave you eyes to see, ears to hear, grace. Gave you love in your heart, grace. We thank God for his grace this morning. We thank God for his love this morning. We thank God that he has given us hope in the future this morning. We thank God for life. To our word today, and we are coming out of the book of Numbers, chapter 9 and chapter 10. We will also be coming out of the 31st Psalm, verses 6 through 10, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 7 through 11, and Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 50. And let's get started. Numbers chapter 9. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day, and those men said to him, we became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel? And Moses said to them, stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Moses didn't talk out of his ears. I talk out of his mouth and just talk out of, well, I'm just going to say whatever comes to mind. No, he always consulted God. He never did anything on his own through the whole trip except for what caused him not to make it into the promised land, because he got so upset, so frustrated, of how the children of Israel were acting, that he just finally got to that point where he couldn't take it anymore. And when God told him to the rock, he hid it. Water gushed out. But because of that disobedience and not going to God and not doing what God said, it caused them not to be able to get into the land of promise. So we have to listen to God. We can't make decisions on our own. And then we have to make sure we have learned to discern the voice of God over the voice of the enemy, because the voice of God will not put you into more problems than you had before. The voice of God will take you where you need to go in the right way and to do things the right way. Then it's the voice of God. If it's not the voice of God, you will be in more distress than you were prior to. You will have nothing but trouble until God decides to forgive you. So you have to go to the voice of God and to hear it and discern it and know that it is actually God's voice and not the voice of the enemy knocking you out of your square. And as we continue, Moses, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. They may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones, according to all the ordinance of the Passover. They shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and the native of the land. Now, on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle, a few days according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning. Then the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whenever it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain in camp and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Again, whatever we are doing, wherever we are going, to make sure that we do what God says do. You know, if God tells you to stay home, then you need to stay home. If God tells you to go, then you need to go. You know, whatever it is that the Lord says to do, that is what we do. We don't do it on our own. You know, I have a very good friend, and I love it because she is a prayer warrior, and she is not going to do whatever, you know, folks say, well, you need to do it this way or you need to do it that way. She is only going to do it God's way, and I respect that, that we have to do it God's way. You know, so many times it's easy because people will come and try to get you to do it this way, and, well, I think you ought to do it that way, and we got to learn how to say, excuse me, but I'm going to do it the way that God has told me to do it. I'm going to do it the way that God said do it. It's not my flesh. It's not by my might, but it's by his spirit that I do whatever it is. You know, we got to learn to tell folks no. If God tells you to say no, you got to say no. You can't follow the crowd. As a man and woman of God, we got to stand firm on what it is God says do. Not what they say do, but what does God say do. Follow God. And as we continue the life lessons, and for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is a daily devotional Bible that you, once you finish this Bible, if you started on January 1st, and it has January 1st on it, and you go to December 31st, and the word has December 31st on it, if you read it every day as it is written, you will have completed the Bible in 1 year. Every word from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. We got to read and study the Word of God. But Dr. Stanley has been kind enough to put in life lessons, life questions, what the Bible says, life examples. And so those are commentary that I read when I'll say a life lesson. Those are coming from Dr. Stanley, and he clarifies certain scripture for us. And I know it is God-driven because some of the things that he said are the things that I thought before I ever went to read what he had put down. So I know it's in the spiritual realm and it's in the spiritual wind. So we have to listen. And then I'll hear sometimes some of the words that we've read. I'll hear it in a sermon on by another minister. Wow, God, you put it in the wind. And he does. Listen to messages. You will hear some pastors preaching, maybe not preaching it the same way, but the same message. And that's when you know that pastor is tuned in to the spiritual wind. They're tuned in to the Lord. They're tuned in to what he is sending to his pastors to preach to the sheep of their congregation. You know, we got to understand God has chosen shepherds. And, you know, we need to listen to what the shepherd has to say. When the shepherd speaks, everybody should be listening. Moses was the shepherd of the children of Israel. And these were the congregation. These were the sheep that God put in his pasture, millions of them, to take to the promised land. And he got them there. He just couldn't go in. And a new shepherd was put in his place named Joshua, who made sure that his whole time that he lived, they kept the commands of God. And he said, it was my fault because I didn't pray. And it got sidestepped. But after that, he never did anything without prayer. And he stood on the word of God. And as we go back to this life lesson, for Numbers 9, it says, stand still that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Despite his exalted leadership position, Moses did not presume to speak for the Lord when the Lord had not spoken to him. Come on now. He, like all of us, must continually listen for the voice of God. We've got to be careful. You know, folks would love to say, well, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. If the Lord didn't tell you that, don't say it. You know, we got to do what God says do. But we can't speak for God. There's only one, and he can speak for himself. All we have to do is be still and listen. Numbers 9:23, at the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Command of the Lord, they journeyed. How blessed we would be if we would go where the Lord tells us to go and stay when the Lord tells us to stay. Obedience is always essential to everything we do in life, and it always brings blessings. And I can tell that is the truth. When we obey God, he sends blessings. And when we want to stay in our mess, and he lets us stay in our mess, and he does not bring the blessings that we would get otherwise. So we need to start cleaning up how you speak to people, cleaning up your environment, getting rid of some spirits that are lingering in your homes. We got to do some spring cleaning. It's time to make a change in our life. And as we get into chapter 10, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance, the second time that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound a call for them to begin their journey. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And he let them know only the priests can blow these trumpets. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the days of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over your the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journey. When the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran, so they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The standard of the camp of the children of Israel set out first according to their armies. Over their army was Nashon, the son of Aminadab. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nathanael, the son of Zua. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Elon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set out carrying the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out according to their armies. Over their army was Eleazar, the son of Shedor. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shalumiel, the son of Zerushaddai. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Gad was Elishapha, the son of Duel. Then the Kerites set out carrying the holy things. The tabernacle would be prepared for their arrival. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set out according to their armies. Over their army was Elishama, the son of Amiad. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gagamel, the son of Pidizar. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Dan was Abinadan, the son of Gideoniah. Then the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, the rear guard of all the camp, set out according to their armies. Over their army was Ahaziah, the son of Amishadiah. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Asher was Begel, the son of Akron. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. Thus was the order of march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they began their journey. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Rahu, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us and we will treat you well. But Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he said to them, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses says, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed, it shall be that wherever God, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them, and the cloud of the Lord was above them by day and when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. What an awesome word. And as we go into our psalm this morning, the 31st Psalm, verses 6 through 10, this is where our title comes from today. I trust in the Lord. We got to have an affirmation every day. Lord God, I will trust in you. And we have to mean it, and we have to stand on it. And the word says, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. Woo! In the Lord. We got to trust God. Regardless of what the world says, we got to trust God. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. You know, folks, I was just flipping channels last night, and they just started a new season of American Idol. And I realized, you know, at one point, oh, man, I did not miss American Idol until one day God convicted me and said, what is the title of that show? And I saw Idol, and I thought, idolatry, that we get so caught up in the artists of the day. We get caught up in the Beyoncés. We get caught up in the, don't ask me all of their names because I don't know them, but we get caught up in the artistry of the world, and we put these people on pedestals. We put these people so high that, you know, folks will fight you. They call themselves the Beehive. If you say anything negative about Beyonce, they will lose their proverbial mind. That is idolatry. If you say anything about Kamala Harris, she has her own little group of folks too, and they will crucify you. You know, understand, people are people. We all put on our pants sleeves, put our pants the same way. We put on our underwear the same way. We all have to do what we do. But the bottom line is, I may put mine on with a right leg, and you may put yours on starting with your left leg. But the bottom line is, we still got to put our pants on. And you're no better than I am, and I'm no better than you are. And no one person is better than another person. We are all children of God, and we all have sinned and fall short. But because of Jesus Christ, we can be saved. You know, we got to get out of the idol worshiping business. You know, we got to make sure that we spend time with God. Proverbs 11, 7 through 11. When a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Come on now. We've seen it. You know, and I'm going to say this. You know, our belief system may be that we don't believe in this particular thing or that particular thing, but God did not tell us to be the judge and the jury over anyone. Because we are going to stand before God ourselves, and we will be judged. We got to be careful that we don't become hypocrites, where we talk about everything and everybody's sin but our own. You know, I love how you have the pastors that love to get into Leviticus and talk about homosexuality. But what they forget to talk about in that same chapter, in that same book, they talk about adultery. They talk about how do you treat your children. It talks about everything, not just homosexuality, but you want to pull one thing out to crucify, but you don't pull out the one thing that God talks about all through the Bible, which is adultery. Adultery is more of a sin than homosexuality, you know, and bestiality, all of that stuff. It's all there. Every last thing is there. So your adulterous self is no different than that person that's doing some abominable things. Because to God, adultery is an abomination. You know, and so many, how let's call it, the hypocrites that stand in the pulpit talking about these things, you know, forget their own sin. As they talk about that poor little girl who was raped and had to have an abortion because she's 10 years old. But no, she should have had that baby. She's 10. She could die. And you have two babies dead. Because somebody didn't keep it in their pants. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go there, but That's where God put me. We've got to be careful as Christians how we get up on them on in the pulpit. And the things we say, we better research. Research your word before you get out there talking it. We understand that certain things are an abomination to God. But we also better understand that some of the things that we let slide are also abomination to God. Lying, cheating, stealing. God said it in the top 10. That's a big deal. Idol worship. Not honoring God. Not honoring the Sabbath day. Not honoring our mothers and our fathers. Lying, stealing, killing. Coveting. Making idols. Worshiping idols. Those things are not of God. And we got to understand as men and women of God that we not be hypocrites with his mouth destroying his neighbor. Talking about everybody but not looking at ourselves. I know I got some mess I got to clean up. I'm not perfect. And I cannot talk about you with my point hanging out of my eye. Talk about your speck. We got to understand as men and women of God, we're running people away because we're acting hateful. We're acting hateful. And God has told us we've got to love each other. By loving kindness do we draw them to Jesus. When folks see the Jesus in you, they want to experience it. But when they see the hypocrisy in us, they want to run from it. We've got to be very careful. And it said, and when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. But let me go back up to verse 9 one more time. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. And knowledge is learning and understanding this word of God. It's important that we study, that we show ourselves, that we read the word of God and ask God, Lord, bring this word to my remembrance when I need it. Bring it to my remembrance as I fight the wiles of the enemy. Lord, bring this word to my remembrance. And it tells us, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. That little power that is called a tongue behind your teeth, that little membrane that speaks for you will tear some stuff up. It will take us down a road we don't want to be in. It will mess up some things. That little thing we call the tongue. And, you know, when God told me this word, when he gave it to me one time I had to preach was, keep your tongue behind your teeth. We got to learn when to speak and when to be quiet. Because this little thing can set a fire. It can set some fires. It can quench some fires. It can mess some people up. Or it can heal the brokenhearted. This little thing, we've got to be so careful. And I love that word one more time. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. That tongue can cause people to rise up and try to take over the government, take over state houses, take over church houses. Things that are coming out of some pastors' mouths these days are scary because you know that it is not of God. You know it is of the evil one because the things they say are not in the word of God and they're not scripturally sound. the words of the evil one. And you have people in the congregation saying, amen, preach, when you know that word is not of God. When someone is preaching separation, preaching hateful, awful things about how you should kill people and how you should do this and how you need to burn books and how you need all these things are not of God. Then God just say, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. We can't burn knowledge. Books are knowledge. Whether you like what's in the book or not, it's still knowledge. You need to know about something. You need to go to the book. But this book we call our Bible, our basic instructions before leaving earth, will change a world, will change the atmosphere, will take us higher, ever been, to the highest heights and the deepest depth. This word will get is a blueprint for life. If we read it, if we study it, we will be better. Because God is giving you everything you need in this Bible, in this His storybook. History unknown is history repeated. God has given us knowledge. God has given us understanding. We just need to study. And the Word of God says, then the Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 50, then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. If you don't ask, you don't have. If you don't ask, you don't receive the knowledge you need. We've got to learn to ask. We got to learn to speak up. And as we continue in our word, it says this. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourself on the road? But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me who sent me. Now John answered and saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbid him, because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Come on now. You can't speak evil of the person you're working for. You know, I'm working for Jesus, and I can't talk about him. You know, we got to understand what he said, for whoever gives you a cup. Oh, let me go back up a little bit. But he who is not against us is on our side. Remember that. If someone is not against you, they are on your side. And he said, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You know, my mother used to always say, be kind to people. Be kind to people, because you never know, that person may be the only one to give you a drink of water one day when you need it. Be kind to everyone, because you never know, that person may be the only one that will give you a drink of water when you need it. Keep that in mind. Be kind. And Jesus spoke these words, it says, and it goes on to tell, but whoever causes one of these little ones, we're talking children, who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and we were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame, excuse me, and having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eyes cause you to sin, pluck it out. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? How have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. We got to have peace with one another. I can't go around mad at everything and everybody. Sour-faced all the time. Folks look at you funny because you're happy. I'm happy, and I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. There are times where I have my moments, like everybody else. But I want to be happy in the Lord. I want to sing in a joyful tone. I want to give praise to the Lord because God is good. Even when my blessings are not flowing like I feel they should, who am I? I'm no different than anybody else. And I get the same situation, and I hear the same voice of God when I want to complain. Why not you? Why not you? And you can say, well, Lord, I did all these things. He said, why not you? Some reflection time. And say, why not me? Because I'm no better than anybody else. We're all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he loves us all equally. Thank him for another day. Give God glory, honor, and praise. For there is none like him. I trust in the Lord. It needs to be our lament every day. When somebody says, well, you need to do such and such and such, if God ain't told you to do it, you got to say, I trust in the Lord. When God tells me it's time, that's when it'll get done, because he will provide everything I need to get the job done. He will provide the labor and the money. He will provide the material. He will provide everything I need. All I have to do is trust in the Lord and do what he tells me to do first. And then I love this question. This is a life question from Dr. Stanley. Who's first? And it says, do you serve for the good of others, or do you serve for yourself? Are you doing what you do because God assigned you the task, or are you doing it because it makes you look good? Come on now. Understand, there are folks that do things in the church, not because they love God, not because it's their calling, but because they want to be seen. Oh, I want to be a prophetess. I don't know why that comes to mind all the time. And I want to tell folks, when you read the Bible, you will find out a prophet and a prophetess is not the greatest calling. Prophets and prophets have had it hard in the Bible. Prophets have had it really hard in the Bible. Great prophets ran for their life. Isaiah ran for his life. Ezekiel had to deal with dry bones. Jeremiah saw the destruction of Israel. Daniel got thrown in a den of lions. Come on. Nathan had to go to David and tell him about himself. Samuel had to tell Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. And he loved Saul. But he had to let him go. And then he had to tell him, you've lost the kingdom. When he was the one that anointed his head with oil and chose him as king. Prophets did not have it easy. Hosea had to marry a coma. Malachi had to deal with offerings and telling folks, you're not doing right. You're not giving to God what belongs to God. We got to understand, be careful what position you try to jump up just because you want to be seen. There's nothing wrong with being in the background, doing the work that God called you to do, but you don't have to go out and say, well, I'm this and I'm that. We got to, unless it's appropriate to say what you are and who you are. You know, we got to know when it's the right time and when it's the time to what? Keep your tongue behind your teeth because you are being watched. And it goes on to tell us, he said, this may seem a strange line of questions, but it's a subject that confronts every Christian at one point or another. Even the disciples struggle with their desire to be the greatest in the kingdom, Mark 9:34. Yet Jesus was always quick to remind them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last, and all the servants of all. Last of all the servants. I ain't trying to be first. I'm going to be where God puts me. I'm going to go where God tells me to go. You know, so many times we run, I call it the church du jour. New churches open up, everybody runs to it. Church is packed. And then you realize, this is not where God wanted me to go. God didn't want me to leave my church that I was already in. But I'm following the crowd. Because, ooh, they got the baddest choir. Bad. I don't like the word bad. For good. You should say they have a great choir. But they have the baddest choir and the baddest band. Ooh, and girl, when they come out in their robes, they are the bomb. And then, girl, they come down the aisle with, they come down so smooth. They are just awesome. I'm going over there. And you know, Pastor, ooh, girl, he can preach because you know he's a recording artist. You know, he has songs on the radio. So you running and have not asked God, is this for me? Should I go there? We got to be careful. And then when you get there, you want to take over because you want to be seen with the pastor. See, girl, I got my picture with pastor today. You know, I'm putting it on my face that I got my picture with pastor. Recording artist, and he is all that, girl. He is fun. You know, first lady, better watch out. Well, you know, she's a recording artist, too. But, you know, she's so stodgy. I just don't like her. But you run over, and you suck up, and you want to be this, and you want to be that, and you want to be in charge of this and that. It's not godly. Because you want to be first. The first to get your picture taken with the pastor. The first to get your picture taken with the first lady. The first to be over the choir because you know you can sing. So you go in over there because you're going to try out for that choir because you know you can sing the solos and you're going to be on the pastor's next album. Girls, we talk it. We have to come on, young men. We talk it. We got to be honest with ourselves and with God. The first is not always the thing. The jour, the of the day, is not always the thing. And I love this is what Dr. Stanley says. Unfortunately, we sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that we can measure the success of what we're doing the same way the world measures achievement. Come on. We mistakenly believe that if God receives glory from our service, then it should be glorious for us as well. Yet when we remember some of God's faithful servants from the Bible, we realize their situations were far from easy or glamorous. Come on now. And he's going there. He said, Job, God allowed Job to suffer the loss of his children, his health, and everything he owned. God told Isaiah to be barefoot and naked for 3 years as a judgment against Egypt and Ethiopia. Come on now. Commanded. Yeah, almost all up in my business here. God commanded Ezekiel to lie on his side a day for every year of iniquity found in Israel and Judah. He was also to prepare his food using cow dung as fuel. Come on now, Ezekiel chapter 4 if you want to find that. And Isaiah chapter 20 if you want to find how he had to lay naked for 3 years. Think that through. Job chapter 1 and 2. You know, lost everything. Told to curse God and die by his wife, but he didn't. And then as we go on, it says God instructed Hosea to marry a prostitute. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. God sent his only son to die naked on the cross for our sins. Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. Come on. Of course, most often God will call us to do those mundane things that seem so unimportant that don't benefit us in any way. As Jesus said in Mark 9:41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. These are the simple acts that show compassion toward other people and which display the character of Christ. They are not done for any personal gain. Rather, they are done out of an overflow of Christ's love in us. Friend, the reason we serve God is not for the sake of your name, reputation, or even your income. The reason you serve God is to be obedient to God, to show his love to a lost world. So whenever you go to do something in his name, check your motive. Are you doing it for his kingdom or for yours? Are you putting yourself first or last? We got to check ourselves when it comes to what we do. Are you doing it because you love God? Or are you doing it because you want to be seen? We got to check ourselves. Hallelujah. God is good. And our word for this morning in our prayer is greater meaning, coming out of Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, the NCV. If a man has 100 sheep, but one of the sheep gets lost, he will leave the other 99 on the hill and go to look for the lost sheep. Hallelujah. We can only thank God that he's willing to find us when we get lost, that he will leave the 99 to find us, the one. Thank God that you have a good shepherd. Good shepherd, you are the best caretaker that exists. You lead and guide us as your collective people, but you also pursue us individually. When I wander here, you come looking for me. You won't let me fall into a trap or get caught in the enemy's lair. You are better than that, Lord, in my wandering. Keep bringing me back to the fold. In the same way, when I see my brothers and sisters wandering away from your love, may I gently redirect them, reminding them of the goodness of the shepherd who is coming to meet them. Your ways are so much better than my own. If left on devices, I'd be caught in a cycle of self-serving adventure seeking. I would leave others to their own as well. Thank you for being a good leader with a watchful eye. You know the moment when I've started drifting. Keep my heart tuned to yours, that I would know your goodness all the days of my life. Do you trust that the Lord sees you when you wander and that he will rescue you? Hallelujah. I know he will, and I love him, and I thank him that he has given me another day. And before we leave this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning from our sister, from Carolyn's gift, is this. Good morning. No matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. All up in the lesson, isn't she? Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And as I say, I trust in the Lord. On point, on time, our sister has always got a word that is we need for the occasion. So I thank God for Sister Carolyn and ask him to continue to watch over she and all of hers in the name of Jesus. And as we get ready to wrap it up, if there's anyone that has a word that God has put in your heart, now is the time to push that one on your phone if you're calling in, or to call 213-943-3597, which is our call-in number if God has called you to speak. And we have a speaker.
Good morning. Good morning. I just want to share with the world on today. This is Evangelist Shannon. I once was blind, but now I see. When me and my granddaughter went to Dillon's Market, Lord will, on yesterday after service, hallelujah. And usually when we walk down the aisle to go to whatever we need, I have not been able, hallelujah, oh my Savior, I have not been able to see, hallelujah, the wording at the end of every aisle to tell you what's in the aisle. But on yesterday, holiday, hey, God, I looked up my sister and I seen the bold writing, the white. It said, all shortening. And I began to start reading it, and she said, Grandma, why are you reading so loud? And I was shouting, but I was very discreet. But I was going to, hallelujah, read that until I couldn't read it no more. And I didn't realize that I was as loud as I was. But I thank God on today that I'm able to read what's in every aisle and in every store in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen for the Holy Ghost. God is a restorator. Hallelujah. Whether you're natural blind or spiritual blind, he can restore you. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister. Evangelist. She's a minister and she's an evangelist. So thank you so much, Evangelist Shannon. And one morning we are going to be able to let her give her awesome testimony. And when you hear her say, I was blind, but now I see, you will understand what she's talking about. This is a mighty woman of God. And I thank her for being a part also of this ministry, because one day she's going to be able to read the word to all of you. I'm believing God for that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So thank you all. Thank you for joining us this morning. As we always say, I got to go to work. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Mr. Shannon, Evangelist, thanking God with you. As I shout
Amen.
Up to the Lord, hallelujah.
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 Have a blessed
Amen.
Day, family. It is a wrap.
A wrap. God bless.
A wrap. God bless you as well.